People of God, we very often think about this story just one kind of a, I guess, a secondary story in the huge, large teaching of Jesus Christ, assuming that this story gives us transition from one phase or one part of life of Jesus Christ to the other part of our Lord. However, if we slow down and pay attention to what Lord's life actually teaches us here in this very passage, I believe we will discover that identity of Jesus Christ, his compassion surpasses all the things that we have expected him to love. When we look at the story, we see several things that actually makes Jesus Christ come close or be identified with people who we very often consider really marginal for a variety of reasons. They might be foreigners, they might be immigrants, they might be people who may not have money or wealth or even faith. Jesus Christ, like a lot of people that we see in our lives today, was persecuted. Like refugees, he was persecuted. We see it and we know it from the fact that Joseph took his family by night and left to go to Egypt. That was because the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was in danger, like many, many refugees that we somehow hear about or see. They all run away from their places because their lives are in danger. I have childhood memories connected to this. Although I have never been a refugee, my family, when I was back in Azerbaijan, the country of my origin, actually hosted a refugee family in our home. Some of you may hear that nations in Caucasus, like my nation, Azerbaijan, and our neighboring nation, Armenia, we had some war after the fall of the Soviet Union. And when that happened, a lot of refugees came to my city, and I remember my parents went and brought a refugee family into home. This happened because there were artillery shells raining down onto their cities, so they had no place to go. And they, in the winter, in the middle of the cold, ran away from their home, just whatever they had on them, in summer dresses, if I can say so. This persecution creates fear and disorientation in refugees' lives, like a kind of persecution that created fear in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, we may say that, you know what, Jesus Christ actually wasn't a refugee since he was really a little child. He didn't experience what refugees experience. Some may even argue in kind of being a little bit more legalistic and say that actually he was a displaced person. The difference is that displaced person leaves from one part of his country to the other, while refugee leaves his country completely or her country completely and goes to another nation. I would say for our purposes, these modern concepts do not matter, because Jesus Christ as a child experienced childhood trauma. His parents traveled in the desert. His parents traveled in day and night to go 300 miles from Israel to Egypt. Perhaps they were going to Alexandria, where a lot of Jewish people live, to be close to their own people. This brings us to second sign, I would say, that really helps us to see how Jesus Christ shared refugee experiences. All refugees and Jesus Christ, they were all displaced. They left their hometown to go and to live among other people. From Israel to Alexandria or to a cities of Egypt, it took perhaps 10 days to go. We are talking about time when people didn't have cars or airplanes, and we are talking about family that was poor. Perhaps they used donkey. A day's journey at the time was 20 miles on foot. Refugees go through similar experiences. I had a friend here, original from Afghanistan, with whom I worked for some time. As a refugee, he left Afghanistan, went to Pakistan, from there went to Sri Lanka, and from there finally landed in Iran, and from Iran finally landed in the United States. This displacement made him fear a lot of things. This was a man who was a professional truck driver in Iran. But then he was jailed in Iran, and when he came out of jail, he lost all of his confidence. That's the trauma. To the point that when he came to this country, he had to ask me to teach him how to drive and to actually help him with driving lesson because he couldn't trust himself anymore. Displacement makes people suffer. As Jesus Christ suffered, as his family went to Egypt, to an alien nation, and stayed there for some time. This brings us to the third sign that refugees and Jesus Christ share. And that sign is suffering. Refugees leave behind everything, as Jesus' family left behind everything. Remember that Joseph didn't wait until morning. He didn't have that luxury. He had to wake up at night and get out of the city or the town. Like many, many refugees, Jesus suffered cold, he suffered heat, he suffered trauma that his mother went through. We are talking about ancient times, people of God. There were no police officers in every corner. Police officers usually protected people who were in palaces. So I can imagine how Joseph was anxious if bandits or if some other people would attack them on the road, right in the middle of the Sinai Desert. I can see how Mary was upset, how she was perhaps crying, how she was really anxious how far they will be able to make it. I can see Jesus Christ as a little child feeling his mother's suffering and pain. This is a childhood trauma that we may grow up with, but we may never ever have any conscious memory of it. I had a friend like that among refugees here. He still can't have enough confidence to speak English. He left from Afghanistan, went to Russia, stayed there until the Russian government kicked him out. Then somehow the United States government granted him asylum. He came here with his family. This man speaks 3-4 languages, but he still can't bring himself to speak in English or actually to be a little more outgoing, I would say, because he suffered in the hands of other people in Germany and in Russia. Those experiences scarred that man, and he still have difficulty to establish deep, good relationship with people. Despite the fact that he had been here almost more than a year and studied English in one of the churches here, he still prefers to speak with other Americans through a translator. The other sign that really brings together Jesus Christ and refugees, and I would say urges us to have compassion upon refugees and immigrants and all those people who we may somehow distance ourselves from, is the fact that refugees' lives and Jesus Christ's life was interrupted or disrupted. Usually these interruptions have lifelong effects on people's lives, whether you're a refugee or Jesus Christ or another human being who suffers extensive interruption in their daily lives, it doesn't matter. They accumulate and turn into a strong troubles later in life. I will give you an example. So there was this South Sudanese refugee living right in here, Holland. This is true, by the way. This really happened. One day, her church taught him how to go and do shopping, and they asked her to go and buy her own products from, say, Meijer. So they showed her how to jump into the bus, go to Mire, buy your stuff and come back. And then this young woman went to the Mire and after 2 hours came back without buying anything. Church people asked her, well, wait a minute, what happened? Why you didn't buy anything? And she responded saying that, well, there was a sign in the bus that said, no food. To us, no food means you cannot eat food in the bus. To her, no food means you cannot eat or carry food in the bus. These are the things that we take for granted. But for those people who have no experience of those things, these little things disrupt their lives. By the way, Jesus Christ suffered something similar, although he was in a different way. And gospel actually witnesses to that very fact. When Jesus Christ grew up and became an adult and started his ministry in Jerusalem and in surrounding areas, people actually hold his background against him. Here's what gospel says. In Gospel of John, chapter 7, verses 40 through 44. I will read this for you. When they heard these words, some in the crowd said, this is really the prophet. Others said, this is the Messiah. But some asked, surely the Messiah doesn't come from Galilee, does he? In other words, wait a minute, he grew up in Nazareth, which is part of Galilee. He cannot be Messiah. Hasn't the scripture said that the Messiah is descended from David and comes from Bethlehem, the village where David lived? So there was a division in the crowd because of him. In other words, the fact that Jesus Christ left his own little town, went to another country, lived there, and came back, and because of Archelaus, the son of Herod, he didn't go back to Nazareth, but went somewhere else. That past followed him around like a shadow. People used it against him, saying that you cannot be the Messiah because you're Galilean. You're from Nazareth. You are not from Bethlehem. Put it simply, Jesus' refugee experience, his life, was interrupted, and that affected him. When refugees and immigrants come, they have to build everything from ground unless they receive help. And that's, I believe, what God called churches to do. Despite what the media says, despite what people mix politics with the gospel and come up with various ideas, the gospel, the truth of the gospel is that God calls us to go out of our ways so that we can be witness, living, compassionate witness to these people who share something with Jesus Christ as a refugee, as immigrant. So what church can do to respond faithfully to God's call, despite all the politics, despite all the prejudice and stereotyping? It depends on how much you want to commit to helping. I have seen some churches wholeheartedly adopt refugee family. If that's what congregation desires, then they adopt a family. I have seen individuals who go to a variety of church-related organizations, such as Bethany Christian Services, and help there in the office. That's how much they want to give. I have seen people who want to be involved deeply. They not only visit refugees, but they actually spend a lot of time with them. They teach them English. They help them to run their daily errands. They help them to find friends. They help them to find a job. They are there for them to give them hope. Usually, these actions or these practices help to plant the seed of Jesus Christ in the hearts of refugees. Obviously, the point in this kind of help is not necessarily to make people Christian, but I have seen people come to Christ because they have seen help from Christians. It may take time. You may plant the seed, and God may bring someone else to water that seed, but no doubt there is something going on because of Jesus Christ, his presence in your life and through you in their lives. I remember one day this one of my refugee friends showed me his, on the phone, he showed me photos of suicide bombing in Afghanistan. And he told me that I have been all over the Islamic world as refugee. And he told me I have never received so much help from people as I have received here. I was surprised a little bit to hear it from him because he's usually a quiet guy, doesn't speak a lot. But like I said, make no mistake, people's hearts change. We may not see it, but God sees it as God pays more attention to what's going on in human hearts. So people of God, I invite all of us to consider how we can be engaged in life of refugees or immigrants so that we can be witness for the sake of Christ, so that they can share mercy and compassion we have seen in Jesus Christ with us.